Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast.
Hey, Child Free Wealth listeners, we are back in the book club. And literally before I pressed record, Bree was like dancing. I love this book. Were you not?
I was. I do love this book. It's my favorite.
Profit First by Mike. I cannot pronounce his last name. Michalowicz or something. How do you pronounce it?
I say Michalowicz. I don't know if that's right.
Motorcycle Mike is what he calls himself in some of this. So like, I'm going to go with that. Like Mike. So Mike wrote this book years ago and really starts talking about like, how do we know if our business is working? Are we making a profit? Where are we going? And I'm amazed how many times people look, you know, say they've been running a business for years and don't have a clue if they're making money. It happens all the time. We have clients who will put their personal and professional finances, just smush them all together. And I'm like, are you making money? Are you charging enough? What are you doing? Like, it's amazing. Because what happens is you start a business because you're good at like cupcake making, but you have to learn how to like balance the books. And I don't mean like an accountant, okay? Like accounting, like kind of funny. My computer here, I have a book stand. I have a book on it. It is the book on auditing and assurance services, an integrated approach that I had to do for my MBA. It is only as good as a book stand. I had to do it for a course on like general accounting practices. Makes no sense. Profit First does in the way we understand money. Is that fair, Bree?
That is fair. It is. It's really just like a playbook and a guidebook for what to do when you're starting a business and you need to keep your money in order.
So walk us through it.
Profit First, obviously by the title, the first thing is they talk about taking and setting your profit aside as the first thing you do. This would be like just if you're working in a W-2 job, paying yourself first, same principle. But when you're in a business, you also need that. So you take when you get money and you're going to go ahead and set some aside for profit right away. So that way you've got something versus taking and putting all of it back into the business right away. That is by far the biggest thing. So whether that means it could be paying yourself first as an emergency fund, paying off debt or investing. And I know that's so counterintuitive because we want to say, oh no, we're going to put all that money back and reinvest it in the business and do all these other things. Well, that's great. And you can do that with some money, but this idea is you should be profitable from the first day you start, because I think it's super easy, especially in today's society. You can get a ton of bills when it comes to running a business, and it's very easy for those things to add up faster than you anticipated. And if you're not careful, you can sign up for subscription after subscription after subscription and buy thing after thing after thing that you really don't need.
Yeah. And by the way, literally this might be 1% of your money goes towards profit. Like, it doesn't have to be a giant amount. And I think one of the challenges is, you know, there's books, you know, about the E-Myth, a few others that go into this, is people create businesses and it's purely for growth. And like, that's their number one goal. It's all about growth. But growth without profit is not a good business.
Yeah, cool. You're making more numbers on the top line. But at the end of the day, bottom line's not looking that great if it's all going out the door again.
There are periods of time where you will be reinvesting in the business, but it has to be for, in the end, some type of profit. And, you know, right now, I'm just being transparent. So in Child Free Wealth right now, we're in a growth period. I'm not taking profit from the business. Okay. Now the book is saying I'm doing the wrong thing. Now, by the way, I take a small paycheck. I jokingly say, but it's true. I'm the lowest paid employee at the company and I'll stay that way for a while because I know there's a profit at the end. I'm building a system. I know my number. I think like people have gotten to a point where like profit's a bad word. If you have a business and you're profiting off of people. Well, let's be real. I'm just going to use our numbers. I'm putting hundreds of thousands of dollars into a business of my own money and my own time. There damn well better be a profit, because otherwise I'm just throwing money under the water. Or if I'm going to just throw money away, then I should do a nonprofit and do it that way. And I think what happens is people mix these two. Like, I want to help people. Cool. If you want to help and give stuff away, you're a nonprofit. And by the way, it doesn't mean like the legal IRS thing, but like you're a nonprofit. Everybody else is running a business for a profit. IRS actually defines it as a business has a profit purpose. A hobby does not. Now, I think the hard part is like, what do you think about this concept, Bree, that like profiting is bad.
I am not with that. I think there comes a point where, like, if you're taking everything as profit and you're not, there comes a point where you should be doing other things to help. And whether that be, like, we have good benefits. At the beginning of the year, we all switched to W-2. We've got good benefits. As a team, we decided, you know, what was most important to us, and things are good. So I'm not against profit. Before I did this, I did marketing on my own, had a business, used profit first, used a method. And of course, I'm going to take a profit. I mean, I hired people a couple times to subcontractors to do different things. Like, if you think I'm not taking a profit, you're crazy, because I'm doing all this work and coordinating all these things. I'm not in the profit is bad pool.
But you've seen this out there. I mean, that is that.
Yes, I have seen it, but I'm not there.
This is where we get into, you know, consumerism and capitalism and is it bad? Look, if you're running a business and you think it's bad to make a profit, you're not running a business. That's just it. So I'll give you, you know, Bree was giving you a little insight. So Bree and I literally had this conversation. So we at our company have made DEI a priority. We want to make sure our staff, our team reflects the people we serve. We want to make sure we are giving opportunities to people. Financial planning as a whole is a old white male population. We want not old white males. And I say that as an old white male. Some days I'm older than others. Like, you know, I'm just feeling it today. But I said to Bree, I said, okay, we're doing internships. We're doing, you know, we just actually did a summer internship, Black and Latinx financial internship. I said, if we do this, we are giving up some of our profit. Bree said, that's okay. Right?
Yeah, that's true. I tend to be it's thoughtful in the way I will give up profit, but I'm okay giving it up for the right reasons.
But what that doesn't mean is we're making no profit. That's the difference here. Profit first literally is you gotta be making some money. I like to look at this, and this is my back of the napkin math for finances for businesses, and I do the McDonald's test. And the question is, if I can make more per hour working at McDonald's, I should do that rather than running my business. I don't know what your McDonald's is locally here. They're actually close to $15 an hour in some of these places. I mean, so you got to make at least $30,000 a year for that business to make sense. And then people go, well, it's my first year. Okay, I'll give you a little leeway the first year starting a business. But the second year, you better beat the McDonald's test. And then I'll have people like, I've been doing it for 10 years. And I'm like, yeah, well, guess what? You have a problem. Because if you're not making money, you're not charging enough. I have this all the time with my clients. I'll have this discussion. I'm like, what would happen if you doubled your prices? And they freak out. And Bree's seen this a few times. Like, I mean, and I don't care what type of business. I've had all different types of business. Like, double your prices. And they go, well, if I do that, I'll lose clients. Sure. Are you going to lose half your clients? No. Well, then you're going to make more profit. I will actually, when I'm working with businesses, if you're just a solo entrepreneur, so you own your own job, your own, you know, you got just you, we will literally take client hours and do the math of what you're getting paid per hour. And if it's not getting you there, you need to change it. And what's happened is I've brought people through this exercise. By the way, most of the time they're too scared to really double their price. So they might increase it by 50%. But they'll increase their price. And then they go, oh yeah, nobody left. Okay. Which means you're providing a good service. And you know what you can do? You can raise it again. You know what's going to happen? The higher you raise your price, you'll end up with a different set of clients, but you're making more profit. You only have so many hours in the day. You know, when we set our prices for Child Free Wealth, we had a big discussion on this, and we had to look at who our target market is, who the clients are, what can they afford, what level of service we want to provide. We decided we want to have a white glove service that takes care of them throughout their lifetime. We want to have a high level service, like they can count on us no matter what. That comes with a high price. It is. And Bree and I literally have had those debates. She's like, yeah, keep raising the price. Like she did this to me the beginning of this year. I was like, I'm thinking about a little price. She's like, no, you tell everybody to raise it, do it.
Yeah.
And it works, because then we can offer other things. We can work on the other initiatives we're doing. We can expand. We can do different things. But you need to start with knowing, are you making a profit? So keep going. Walk us through the accounts and how they do this.
Yeah. He has a different account method in here, but I'm going to start with the five foundational accounts. So these are five foundational checking accounts. One, you have your income account. This is going to be where all of your income goes into. That's where you can look. Everything is deposited into just one account. From there, you have your profit account. So you're going to set some profit aside there. Your owner's account, put money there to pay yourself. So you're actually making some money, not just putting it all. Because like we talked about before, if you're not making money from it, you can't pay yourself. This is not a nonprofit. This is a business. And number four, taxes. We all have to pay taxes. So make sure you set aside money for taxes. That's something I would work with a CPA on. Just figure out what percentage for you you need to set aside. And then the fifth account is going to be your operating expenses. So that's the money that you can spend to help operate your business. And that could be whatever, you know, materials you need, if you need to purchase software, employees, anything that it takes to run your business comes from the operating account. Then this is one idea that I really like, is the two no temptation accounts. You're going to open those up at a bank that you do not have an existing relationship with. And it is one account is going to be your tax hold. Every month you transfer money over there to just hold until tax time. So you got to pay those taxes. And then two, you have your profit hold. Once a month, you transfer money over there, let it sit there. And then every quarter, you can pay yourself part of that profit. But you leave a small percentage behind for rainy days. But in the book, he has you make a celebration list for profit. And I have my list on here. One of them, there are a couple of different things I had. But one was hire a house cleaner. I did that. Another one was go to a trip to Alaska. This past summer, I went to Alaska by myself for 10 days, met up with some people from that I'd never met before, and went and hiked and did a bunch of camping out like in the woods of Alaska. And I used my profit for my business to do that. And that was really fun. But he just wants you to have that profit set aside to celebrate and enjoy life and do something fun with.
Yeah, when he first set this up, this book's got a few years on it, and he was like, there's one bank that will allow you to set up multiple accounts. Now it's pretty common. Like they have buckets or vaults where you can set aside this. And I like the split, you know, income, profit, owner's comp, taxes, operating expenses. He's got in the book some suggested percentages. You got to kind of work it for you. You know, if you're more of a service business, you're going to have less in the operating expenses. This and the, you know, so great example of this. If you look at financial planning world I'm in, the general rule is about one third goes to the planners doing the planning, one third to operating expenses, and one third to profit. Now, those are really, really rough numbers. In actuality, when you're starting, it's going to shift. You're going to have low profit. But you need to have some type of number, whatever it is. When I do budgeting for our company, I look at those percentages and say, okay, where are we going to end up on this? And yeah, the first couple of years, the profit's not going to be where you want it to be. But one of the things you want to be doing is setting a goal to increase that by a certain percentage every year, increasing your owner's comp. You know, a lot of times people say, I'm profitable. Cool. What do you pay yourself? Minimum wage. You're not profitable. You're cheating yourself on the owner's comp side. I'm going to be honest. Right now in the business, I'm cheating myself on the owner's comp side. I told you, I'm taking a small paycheck because I'm reinvesting in the company. You can make whatever decision you want, but you have to make a conscious decision of which of these accounts are you doing and when and how and what's this year going to look like versus next year. And you know, I've got a 15-year projection for the company. The only thing I know about that projection is it's wrong. There's no way I can truly guess 15 years, but I can look year over year at what percentage is going into each of these accounts, and it makes it simple. Now, part of the reason why he recommends this is you can look at your bank account today and be like, oh, we have money in operating expenses, or no, we don't, and make decisions. When you do accounting, and we do accounting principles, and whether it's on a cash basis or accrual basis, I'm good at those, but still sometimes I look at them like, did you make a profit or not? Like, did you take money home? Like, what did you do? And I've had some people like, you know, they'll work with accountants. Their finances will be perfect from an accounting standpoint. And then I will ask them, how much did you take home? They go, well, not much. I'm like, well, it says here you made a profit. Well, but that got, And it's just the accounting systems start messing it up. The simple accounts. Now, I like the celebration list, but Bree, what's next on the list? You did Alaska and you did the house cleaner.
Australia is on my list as well. So I want to do Australia and go, I want to scuba dive at the Great Barrier Reef before it disappears completely. I don't know if I'm going to make it there that quickly, but hopefully.
Depends on, you know, what's going on, what's dumping in the ocean this week.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my next thing.
And by the way, if you've seen models on personal finance where it talks about pay yourself first, it's the same concept.
Yeah.
You know, really we talk about sinking funds and other things. It's the same type of thing. But you as a business need to have this structure. I think people go, well, but I only bring in $5,000 a year or $500 a month or whatever. You still need to have a plan for it. So a great example is I have a lot of folks that are doing 1099 gig work, you know, Uber or, you know, whatever. And they go, yep, I didn't put aside for my taxes. Well, guess what? You have a big tax bill at the end of the year. Because you put all that money in your personal account, you didn't do that. The other thing is you want to have a completely separate account for your business stuff than your personal.
Yes. Do not mush those together.
Yeah. And then I'll ask people, well, but I use this credit card for business. I'm okay if like you have one card, you do like, I have people like the points or whatever. They love those. One card, no personal whatsoever on that. The business pays off the card, the business expense. Fine. You can also literally get like a Chase. I think it's like Ink or whatever it is. The
Chase
one
Ink for Unlimited. Yeah.
Yeah. You can get that for your business pretty simple and do the same type of thing. You need to have a structure. But what happens is when I look at people have just, they're the only person working there. They just dump it all in their personal. And I'm like, did you make money? I don't know. How much do you make per hour? I don't know. What's your profit? I don't know. What's your expenses? I don't know.
Yeah. And it really forces you to have discipline and self-control when you've split these apart, because there are certain things that you just won't be buying for a while. And maybe if you get to the point you can buy it, you still don't because you realize other things are more important. I like the very laid out, okay, this is what I have to spend and that's it.
Bree, what do we do like if I have one of those businesses where like my income bounces all over the place, you know? The true variable business income.
Yeah, you're going to work on just creating what's an average for you and then pay yourself a consistent income every month. So what I did was I had some retainer clients, so I knew what I'd be getting from them, but I would also take on other work that was like one-time projects. And I would just leave that in my owner's comp account, the owner's comp portion of it, my owner's comp account. And I paid myself the same consistent income every single month, because that way, if there were any months where, you know, I said, nah, I don't really feel like doing any extra work, then I had extra there. So I still had that same salary every single month. And I learned to live off of that versus basing everything off of the highs and lows. And it's the same with personal. We do sinking funds. So that way, you know, every month you just have this bill. It's just setting aside a bit so you don't have to worry about, I made a ton of money this month, but what if next month's low? It's just, no, you're still only going to get a certain amount of it to your personal income, and learning to live off that and be okay with that.
And you'll hear me call it a hills and valleys account. So another way of saying it, you know, like we have the peaks and valleys or whatever you want to call it, you know, like, especially if you're working on something with big sales, other things, you might have that bounce up and down. You need to find, okay, this is what I normally get. Put some money aside, work through. Because otherwise your personal finances will do the same. At the end of the year, end of the quarter, whatever, you can give yourself the profit out of it. The other thing I like to do is I like to build an emergency fund for the business. You know, we talk about 3 to 6 months of expenses for the personal. I like the same thing for the business because stuff happens. I mean, just random. And you've got to have that extra money aside for when things happen. I mean, we just, you know, spent a couple of years in the COVID world, and what did that do to all the businesses? You know, there's things that just happen you can't plan on. I think if you're going to run a business, you need to have a plan. The thing is, we just, last month's book was The Gap in the Gain. And I worry a little bit on this when people look at the percentages in the book. Are they worried about having exactly the right percentage? Well, you know, he says in the book, you need to have 10% profit or whatever it is. Well, if you're getting 8 and you're making progress, you're okay. I get stuck in this. In the financial world, we have benchmarks for everything. What are other companies doing? The truth is, none of them are doing them the way we're doing them. So the comparisons don't really work. But I still look at the benchmarks every time they come out, and I'm like, well, this says I should have been. And you just got to watch that, because that's just part of human nature.
That is true. And you are right. You do look at the benchmarks all the time. But knowing if it applies to you and if it's the same, that's important too. The book does have like target percentages, but those are rough numbers. It's at the end of the day, you need to know your business and make a plan for your business, not everybody else's business that is generic numbers.
Yeah. What I do like is it says, okay, cool. You know, if your profit margin is 4% right now, set a goal to raise it by 1% every quarter or something. You know, like that's a nice way to do it. I will tell you, if you're doing this and you're finding out you don't have leftover money for profit, your pricing is wrong. You can try to optimize whatever you want in the process. If you're not charging enough, you're not going to have profit.
Exactly.
And people come to me all the time, like, but I want to serve people who can't afford me. I'm like, cool. Give it away to them for a couple hours and charge everybody else the real price.
Yep.
I mean, you have to be comfortable with that. And it's something I've struggled with at times because I want to help everybody. And I'm like, everybody can't afford us and I need to be okay with that. And that's part of what Profit First is doing, is making you look at it and go, well, are you making enough? You know, I've had conversations with people where they're actually sacrificing on the personal side to make their business work because they're not willing to raise their prices or, you know, set their profit margins right. I'm like, no. If you want to give it away, make it a nonprofit and give it away. If you want to make a profit, make a profit.
Pick one.
So Bree, I'm assuming this is a 5-star book for you.
Of course it's a 5-star book. Yes, it is absolutely a 5-star book. And I think if anybody looked through the amount of writing I have in my own, it's pretty obvious. It's a 5-star book.
Awesome. Next up for the book club, we're going to do Your Money or Your Life. Now, this is Vicki Robin and Joe Dominguez, 9 Steps to Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Achieving Financial Independence. We're going to pick that up as our next book one. So if you haven't gotten there, Your Money or Your Life. Now, I will also say, by the way, just kind of clue, there is a child-free version of this coming out, The Child-Free Guide to Life and Money. We're going to have to do that as a book club in the future. That happens to be by me, so I don't know if I can plug it. Oh, it's my podcast. Screw it. I'll plug it. But this is one of those type where we're trying to find the balance between life and money. Good place to start. We're going to pick that up, and you can dig in with us.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.